Hello, this is Hal. We're traveling in the Gulf states of Louisiana and Alabama this week, and since we're going to be speaking in Robertsdale, Alabama this particular evening, we decided to bring you a previously broadcast episode of our podcast talking about why we started homeschooling and why we continued. We hope you find it helpful and interesting.
You've made the commitment.
You've caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello there. This is Hal.
And Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Our topic now, as we're moving into the month of August, you know, school is looming up there just over the horizon. And I thought it would be kind of interesting to talk about why it was that we decided to homeschool and why did we decide to continue, because they're two different things.
They really are. You know, we've been homeschooling for over 20 years now.
Yes, more than two. We're in our third decade of homeschooling. Oh, my goodness. It makes us sound absolutely octogenarian, but we're not. We're
no.
Quintagenarian.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, we don't need to share that information. That's
okay,
a little too
TMI.
Personal.
TMI,
too
sorry.
Too much information. Okay. So we actually decided to homeschool before we had children. In fact, we started talking about homeschooling before we got married.
We did.
And listen, you may have done that too, but boy, that was unusual in the 80s.
Yeah, back then. Wow. Yeah, that's what I tell people. I said, we decided to homeschool before we had children to do it too. Yeah, and we did, you know, and that was, when did you first hear about homeschooling?
I was in college, and I remember reading maybe a Time magazine article or something. I'm a news nut. Mm-hmm. And talking about homeschooling, and I was absolutely fascinated, because to tell you the truth, I was bored out of my mind in school.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a progressive experimental school in a large city in the first and second grade.
Yeah.
And they allowed us to progress as fast as we could, and I finished the sixth grade materials.
Uh-huh.
And then we...
In your second grade.
In the second grade. And then we transferred to a country school, and I had teachers who couldn't even speak English properly, and I thought I would lose my mind.
Well, if you're working on a sixth grade level, and then they say, no, no, you've got to get back with the third graders, because that's how old you are.
Yeah, it was horrible. I was bored to tears for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first heard about homeschooling, I thought, wow, you mean kids don't have to go to prison? I mean, that's the way it sounded to me.
Yeah.
Because it had just been so difficult for me to handle the boredom.
Yeah. I don't know when I first heard about it. I probably read about it somewhere and didn't give it a second thought. This is just something that some people are doing. But I remember when I was in college, we had some real pioneers in our state, in South Carolina at the time, who were homeschooling their kids. They were members of our church, and it seemed like every Wednesday night there was another prayer request for another meeting with the school board, another meeting with the superintendent, a paperwork issue at the central office. It was one thing after another.
Well, South Carolina was not an easy state to homeschool in at that time.
No, it wasn't. So we knew that, you know, it was something that people did out of conviction, because it certainly wasn't easy at the time. But, you know, you and I, you know, that was about the time you and I started courting.
Yeah.
And I know that along the way in our discussion, you know, in our courtship, and I say that advisedly, I mean, we talked about, we had a list of things.
We had a very unusual relationship. But it was much more of a courtship than dating. And we'll tell that story another time.
We'll talk about it another time. But I know that we talked about how are we going to educate our children if that's the Lord's will. Now, that wasn't real high on my list at the time, but we did talk about it.
And we decided, you know, at that time you were an Air Force officer, and
right.
There was a great big base in Nebraska, mm-hmm. and people are getting arrested for sending their kids to Christian schools in Nebraska.
That's interesting. You know, you can probably find that story if you Google on Nebraska 7. You know, the Nebraska 7 was the pastor and some of the fathers in this small church. And Nebraska, for some reason, long had a problem with non-public education. And they had a Christian school going at their church, which was not officially licensed and certified and stuff. And and all the rest of that. Anyway, bad legal situation out there, and I thought, you know, the kind of career I'm in, I'm likely to end up in Nebraska at some point in my career. Maybe we should consider options if we decide to homeschool. How can we keep ourselves out of jail? That's not good for an Air Force officer.
So I went back to graduate school in education thinking I would become a certified teacher and that would make it easier if we got stationed one of those bad states. Now, it's not a bad state now. There aren't any bad states now.
Not like then, that's
not,
for sure.
Not like back then. And so in the course of working on working toward a master's degree in education, I studied homeschooling. I did a huge project on homeschooling, and what we learned just solidified it. We said, you know what, this is an incredibly free, exciting way to teach children that it looks like by far the best thing to do academically. And we liked the idea of being able to disciple our children, of having that time to spend with them.
I think, yeah, you know.
So I think it was really more of an academic and lifestyle issue in the early days.
It really, I think it was for us, because although we were both serious, committed, you know, in some ways radical young Christians, you know, we wanted to raise our children in a Christ-centered way, in a very self-consciously Christian environment. And yet, I think it really solidified for us as you were sitting in those classes. You were at, I don't know if you mentioned the name of the university.
It was a very large liberal university.
A large liberal university.
And I was really absolutely horrified.
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, the things that they taught, you know, the nicest teacher you had, your advisor, was an English teacher, and she didn't really believe that literature had any sort of fixed meaning, that the words just kind of meant whatever the reader put on them.
And, well, I had the one that got me really badly was I had a science professor who stood in the classroom, and it was science education, and my degree is in the hard sciences, okay?
Right.
So I'm sitting in that classroom, and she says, you know, she had us read, you know, Structure of Scientific Revolution, some of those avant-garde writers that basically say that there is no truth.
Yeah, so there's no objective reality. It's just what we all have formed a consensus about.
Yeah, deconstructivism. Yeah. So she says, for example, how can we know that this wall is gray? I thought, is this a trick question? Raised my hand. I said, because we can measure the wavelength of light reflected from it, and we've all agreed to call that wavelength gray.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, can you do that? Cool.
We thought, she is training the people who are going to be teaching science, and she doesn't know about spectrometer. She doesn't know about wavelengths.
Yeah. And then there was a class, children's literature class, where there's a very serious discussion about how to keep the parents of the classroom from knowing what books you're reading with the children. If it's controversial books that they might disagree with, how do you keep the parents from knowing?
Those parents just interfering with our efforts to educate.
Well, it was very much that was the idea, that parents were biased
or an obstacle
and bigoted and stupid, and that the goal was to turn the children into something that parents would not want them to become if they knew.
Because the parents just won't get with the program, so we just got to get around them.
And so that really upset me from a Christian standpoint. But then I felt like it was a lot. It was bankrupt, you know, that.
Well, yeah, you just, you
know,
what do you bother to teach if you don't believe that there's an objective point to it?
Well, you know, I reviewed materials that I knew with just a BS in the hard sciences that they were BS, that they were not
false.
Science. They were
false.
They
were bad. I remember you bringing some back where they were trying to explain electricity to elementary school kids, and they're using all sorts of analogies which aren't real, which don't work.
Well, and simplify it to the point of not being true.
Right. See, I'm an electrical engineer by training, so I'm reading this with a physics mindset and engineering mindset and saying, this is bosh, it's baloney. I mean, I can explain it to an elementary school child without, you know, doing harm to the facts of the case. You know, we both kind of came to that point to say, hey, you know, we can do better than this.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness, we can do a better job than this. And can we afford to give our children to people who are, I remember your professor that tried to lead the class in an out-of-body experience.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
and so that we could do that with the children. And, you know, it was just so egregious. It made it very plain to us that as Christians, we wanted to homeschool.
I just thought, I can't put my kids under these folks' authorities.
No.
You know,
and
this is not going to work.
Academically, we felt like our research had shown that this would be a good thing for them academically. So we made the commitment to homeschool. We had no children. So we told everybody.
Yeah.
Told the grandparents, told the great-grandparents.
Yeah.
That went over about like a lead balloon.
Well,
I don't think my grandmother saw me till the day she died that she didn't say, are you going to let your children go to school one day?
Yeah. So, but, you know, that was it for us. I mean, we were coming at it as Christian parents, but we were,
talking.
You know, we were seriously concerned about the academic aspect as well as the moral aspect. Of course, we knew that schools were not what they had been, that they were not necessarily a reflection of community values, if you will, but they had their own agendas, and many of those agendas have moved away from the kind of schools you and I grew up, because we both went to public schools.
Yeah,
growing up.
Well, and public and private.
You had a public, private, and Christian, you know, but and I went public all the way through.
Yeah, I think I had every experience. I went to boarding school, private school, public school, Christian school. I think I had every experience.
Yeah, so you're well-rounded in that. but I think, you know, we both recognize that with all of their faults, that our school systems are more conservative than the ones that our kids were going to be attending, if it came to that.
And so when we made the decision to homeschool, we were leaving something. You know, we were leaving the public schools and thinking, you know, I think we can do a better job academically. I think we can do a better job character-wise, value-wise. What is interesting to me is that is not what has kept us homeschooling, and that's not as much what we value. I love the academics, and we learned so much together, and we had a great time, but that's not what is the most important value now.
No, and it's in what we
now, our kids have been successful academically. We sent free to college. They've gotten scholarships. They've done really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of them went to Oxford, but so far, and we have more than three. We have five still at home.
Yeah.
But there's more than that. There's a bigger issue.
And we're going to talk about that after the break. You know, I want to just drop a little thing in here, a note from our friends, Fletch and Kendra Fletcher. But we've got some other things we're going to talk about when we come back from this. We've got an announcement, something going on right now, this very week. If you're listening to this podcast live, or if you're going to be listening in the next few days, we want to tell you about that, too. Okay, but let's just stop for a little quick station break from our friends over at Homeschooling in Real Life.
You are listening to the Making Biblical Family Life Practical podcast. This is Fletch.
And this is Kendra from the Homeschooling in Real Life podcast.
We use humor and honesty to get real about Christian homeschooling.
And with heaps of grace, we discuss topics you won't find covered at your local homeschooling convention.
You can find the Homeschooling IRL podcast on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network or by searching for us on iTunes.
All right. You know, what we'd like to tell you about, too, during the station break, is this is a very exciting week for us. We are celebrating the 5th anniversary of this business and ministry.
That's right. Our family is much older, but
we've been married nearly 30 years.
But we started this ministry and the accompanying business, Great Waters Press, back 5 years ago. And this summer, we are celebrating that anniversary. It's been a tremendous thing that God's doing in our lives, and we hope in the lives of a lot of people around the country.
Yeah, we really didn't have any idea the Lord was going to do this. We had been speaking about raising boys for some time, and people kept asking us, do you have a book? And we said, no, we've got a family. We don't have time to write a book. And finally, we wrote the book. And we were thinking it would be something to put on the table when we spoke here in the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
Within a few months, the Lord had catapulted us into full-time speaking and writing and traveling all over the continent speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a wild ride,
mm-hmm.
a lot of fun. But this week we're doing a special celebration. We want to thank God for what he's done,
mm-hmm. right.
through this ministry in our lives and in your lives. And so for 5 days only.
This is through Friday, August the 8th. And we're running up to midnight Pacific time for our listeners out in the West Coast.
Yes, we are doing a 1/5 discount to celebrate 5 years, 20% discount on everything we publish, downloads, hard copies, everything we publish on our website. And if you buy at least $20 worth, then you're going to get a $200 in gifts, because we have a lot of friends in publishing and in homeschool publishing, and they all got together and have provided over $200 in gifts that you'll be able to purchase. So we're having a party.
Yep.
A happy birthday party, and you're going to get the gifts. So.
That's right. So if you want to see all about this, go to our website,
RaisingRealMen.com/5 years.
That's right. Okay. We're not going to do it in unison. That's right.
RaisingRealMen.com/5 years.
And what does that mean in practical matter? You know what? Our book, Raising Real Men, is normally $15. We're going to be selling it for $12 this week. That's 1/5 off.
And our four-set Hero Tales audiobooks by Theodore Roosevelt, with sound effects, because history is much better with cannon fire, only $16 for the set.
That's
normally
right.
they're $7 each, so $4 each if you buy the set this week.
That's great. And
huge
so
sale.
All kinds of bargains out there. So we do encourage you. Please come on out. Take a look. This is the time you can do some Christmas shopping. How about that?
Yeah, because we've got all kinds of gifts for guys out there, including the most awesome rubber band machine guns you have ever seen.
Wow. That's RaisingRealMen.com/5 years, and that's only until Friday night, August the 8th. Okay.
Now let's get back to talking.
That's right.
We talked about how we talked about how we got started homeschooling. Let's talk about why we're still homeschooling, what we found valuable about it now.
Mm-hmm.
We have graduated three of our children. We homeschooled from the beginning. I told you we made the decision before we had children. Now, though, that we have adult children, I think without a doubt, the most important thing, the most critical thing, has got to be discipleship, Hal.
That is it. Yeah. And I think as we have gone on, that's become more and more plain to us, more and more evident. But you know what? I think even before that, before we realized that, there were some things that nobody really told us to expect. And then I was the case, you look back and said, nobody ever told me to expect life. Well, that's true about homeschooling, too. I know. We read books, and they said, things like, I remember reading The Right Choice, Chris Clifton, back and when before
Boy,
I started. I remember reading,
in the 80s.
I remember reading the Elijah Company's catalog, Chris Davis's articles, and I remember reading Mary Pride's books, The Big Book of Homeschooling,
those
kind of things. And they all said, homeschoolers do fantastic academically. You know, they learn so well. It's a great way to teach your kids. And you know, we said, okay, that's good. That's good. It works. We expected that, and God was pleased to bless our efforts, and we've seen, it works very well.
Yeah, they do great academically.
But, you know, some things that we never expected, things like the relationship that we have with our kids.
Wow. You know, that has been amazing, is I think what it's done in our family life, because it's like it reduces the outside-the-family demands.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it makes a richer more family life because, like, all the kids are learning the same kind of things. They're interacting more. You know, I have one brother who's 2 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
We never did anything the same in school ever.
Well, and I've got one sister. She's 4 years younger than me.
Yeah, we went to the same school.
We were never in the same school at the same time. We have friends in common, you know, that my friends usually had younger siblings. And so we had a little bit of crossover there, but we were never in the same school. We were never like in the band together in high school or any of those kind of things.
And I think about how our children have had so much richer relationship. You know, we have children that are 19 years apart.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't even know each other. You know, we have kids that are 15 years apart, 11 years apart.
Right.
And yet they're able to be really close and have a great relationship. Because our life is so family-centered, they've studied the same things, they've used the same books, we study the same things together a lot.
Well, I remember things like, I have a mental picture, I remember when our oldest son was just starting high school biology, and we got in the kit to do the frog dissection. Well, you know, we had six boys, and so
they would own it.
We're going to cut up a frog. Can we get a frog, too? And so I remember we had three of them You know, our oldest was how old? 13 at the time?
13, 14.
And so we got two younger siblings, and they're all sitting around that little table in our where we did our schoolroom, dissecting frogs, even though they weren't studying biology at that time. They had the same experience. They shared that together. You know, they did the science experiments together. We talked about
the same field trips.
You know, and yeah, there's a lot more that our family shared that way.
And so our children have had a much closer relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think you really see that as they've become adults, that, you know, they share so much. They interact a lot more as adults, I think, than we did with either of our siblings.
Yeah.
But I think probably even more important than that, though, is the mm-hmm. time. You recapture so much time by homeschooling, not just the getting to school and getting home from school, but that it doesn't take 8 hours a day to educate your children.
I never, you know, I understood that when we got started because I was in band for several years in middle school and high school. And I remember there were times when, for one reason or another, I had to miss a couple of lessons, a couple of rehearsals, and I'd have a private lesson with the band director to go over the material, and he would cover it in 15, 20 minutes. I said, well, I missed, you know, 2 hours of band class this week. He said, yeah, but that's all it took to cover that, and you got it, and so we don't need to spend more time on it. And so, you know, the time to recapture because you're homeschooling, there's so much overhead to running a classroom.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, it's not just the time that you spend on the bus, the time that you spend at lunch, but just the time for calling the roll, the time to getting people's attention. You know, the accelerated students are twiddling their fingers because the teacher's got to explain it for the slower students and all that. Whereas if you're just teaching one child in that grade level, you teach until they understand it. And if they understand the lesson in 10 minutes, you're done. If it takes them an hour and a half, then at least they got it. They didn't get left behind.
And so it's just so much more efficient, and that means a couple of things. It means you have a lot more time to spend with your children, to interact with your children.
And they have a lot more time to do things out in the community,
yes.
to do projects, to study things that interest them. To
start businesses,
yeah.
to have hobbies. And you're there when they have the big questions in life.
Because that is important. Back to the D word. Homeschooling, we get hung up on the education part of it, the school part of it. You know what? It's really about discipling our children.
Yeah.
Because the Bible doesn't say a lot about school. It says to be in subjection to the authorities placed over us. And our authorities say your children must be in some sort of formal school situation. And so
we want to prepare them for life, and we want them to be able to support a family and everything.
Right. But the point is, the Bible says a whole lot more about discipleship and character and relationships between people and between people and their God. And that is what we have regained by, you know, we teach our children at home. That means they're not leaving our house at 7 in the morning and coming back at 4:30 or 5.
And then having 2 or 3 hours of homework in the evening, which you're supposed to do if you're at a serious school.
We're gaining back 40 hours a week of our children's lives.
Oh, probably more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably more than that when you count in the discipleship, the homework.
Yeah.
But, you know, that to me is the huge advantage of homeschooling that really can't be reproduced very well, even in an excellent, academically challenging Christian school, is that parent-child relationship, sibling-sibling relationship,
mm-hmm.
and the discipleship that happens. And as I have seen our children become adults, I want to say this, those awful days, the days where you spend all the time disciplining and counseling and you don't get much school done and you feel angry and frustrated because you spent all day long disciplining your children, those are the important days. Those are the days that make a difference in what kind of person they become.
I think I can think of a particular day that finally hit me. And I think, you know, I remember it was one of those days that, yeah, one of those days. And I think I was sitting on the stairs.
Hal works from home, so we both get engaged in this.
So I'm sitting there on the stairs like Solomon on the judgment seat with two or three of these miscreant children of mine, and I'm trying to pass judgment and render truth and righteousness in the household. And I thought, you know what? Honestly, this is what it's about, that I'm training the character of these young men. Because all we had at the time was young men, understand. I'm training these young souls to live righteously, to walk humbly with their God, to treat one another with fairness and equity and justice. And, you know, whether they finish their English assignment today or tomorrow is not going to make a lot of difference in eternity. But the character that's being built here is really the focus of what we're doing as parents of children.
It's the part that matters. Because you know what? If we fail at the academics, they can relearn that stuff. We shouldn't fail. We should be faithful.
Yeah.
But the character part, that's the part that impacts who they are and who they are for the rest of their lives. And you know, that part of homeschooling, I have been ecstatic about, because when I look at our adult children and the relationship we have with them, the relationship they have with each other and with our younger children,
yeah,
I have to thank God for allowing us to do this. Because, yeah, it's been frustrating. There are days I feel like jerking myself bald-headed and everybody in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And there are days and months and some years that I have felt like were a failure, that I didn't accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. But by the time they graduate, we accomplish it. And more than that, we accomplish training them, teaching them, discipling them, holding their hands, and helping them to become godly adults.
Wow. Well said. You know, I heard something else well said this week, and you'll have to correct me. What was it your friend said? You can choose to.
Oh, yeah. One of my friends said, you know, when it comes to homeschooling, we all want a clean house, a good school day, happy children, and a happy husband. You can choose to.
So you can have a good school day and a clean house, but your children and your husband may not be thrilled. Or you can have happy children and a happy husband.
In a wreck of a house with no school blind.
Or, I thought that's pretty real.
Well,
there's degrees of that.
There are degrees of that. There are some days that go great and some days that nothing goes well. But, yeah, it's hard. Homeschooling is tough.
Yeah.
I think mainly because it's spiritual warfare. It's not just academics, although that would be enough.
Well, yeah. You know, if it was just a matter of teaching them phonics and algebra, then I don't think we would have spiritual warfare. But the fact that we're raising disciples to serve Christ, you better believe there's opposition.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the academics on top of the housework is enough.
Yeah.
That's hard enough.
Right.
But the spiritual warfare, man, it's brutal. You know what? It's worth every single second.
So I guess the takeaway from this is we had reasons that we started homeschooling. We found a lot more reasons to continue once we were on the inside. I bet that's your experience, too.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.